Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to go ahead and get started with our final class in this book. Sorry, you're still stuck with me. For the next lesson, living and praying in Jesus' name has been a journey, and we are coming to the end of this class. And this today will be, Margaret, we're getting ready for our class. So today is going to be our final lesson. We're doing part two of hallowing this name, the captain of the host of the Lord. I can't think of a more appropriate way to end this book and go right into the war room, because we're talking about the captain of the host of the Lord. You'll see there's several handouts. Oh boy, they're gone. Okay. Okay, we had the handout on the war room. We'll have some more handouts. I had about 25 over there, but they're all gone. But the handouts on the war room is over there for next week as we get started. And I'll have more handouts next week, guys, if you didn't get one. And we'll also be, you also should have a copy of the table of contents from our book, Living and Praying in Jesus' Name. Folks, you're talking about something for your war room right here, because you've got to understand the name of Jesus. And I hope after the 3 years we have spent in this book that you understand the power in the name of Jesus. And this is just something that you can post, you know, and just be a reminder of all that he is to you. I mean, I was just looking through this table. I was like, oh, all the things. And all you have to do is say Jesus. And as you know, all he means, all of these things. All of these things. He is definitely a wall of fire, a sure foundation. I'm going to skip around, a great light, a scepter. He's a quickening spirit. He's the head of the body. He's the Lord of peace, the brightness of his glory. He's express image of his person. He is a propitiation for our sins. Thank you, Jesus. He is the hidden manna. He is the amen. He is a lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Alpha. He's the Omega. He is the Lord who healed. He is the bridegroom. He is the wonderful counselor, the headstone of the corner. He is the lifter up of my head. Hallelujah. He is my rock. He is the power of God. He is the wisdom of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Folks, no man comes unto the Father but through him. He is a deliverer. He is the Lord of glory. He is the bread of life. He is the bright and the morning star. And he is the word of God. And finally, in our lesson today, he is the captain of the host of the Lord. He is our victory. As you can see, there's themes behind every name of Jesus. So there's something about the name of Jesus. I believe the writer of that song could only say there was something. There was something, because he's indescribable. You can't even describe him. But all you have to do is call on his name, and he comes and he blesses. Sometimes I don't even know what to pray. Have you ever been so frustrated, so angry, so full of emotion, you didn't know what to say? All you have to do is say Jesus. Amen. Just say Jesus. Sometimes I just walk around my house and say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I've just heard something that just, I'm like, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he goes, and he is all those things on the situation. So again, folks, get a copy of that. If you don't, I'll bring some more next week. We seem like they're all gone for your war room. And I hope you're starting to look around your house. Oh, where, Lord, where can I go and meet you? Where can I pray? Where can I meet you? Where can I post things on the wall? You know, if you saw the movie, I thought that was really poignant, that the scriptures that she put on the wall, the names of people, because we got to get deliberate and serious about prayer. I'm telling you, folks, you know, it's not even that the Antichrist is coming. The Antichrist is here, folks. He is here. And he is here, and he's trying to take down the church of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, if you don't pray, you will be deceived. So you have to be in prayer. You got to have your own war room. I can pray. I can only do so much in praying for you. You've got to learn how to pray for yourself, because the Holy Spirit has got to be in you so you can be discerning yourself. You know, the church can only do, Pastor Steve can only do so much for you. You've got to learn how to pray for yourself. That's why Jesus died, don't you understand? So he could have a personal relationship with you. None of this, Moses, go up to the mountain and talk for us. That's over. You got to have a personal relationship for yourself. If you don't, I'm telling you, the enemy is in the world. He's cunning and he's deceiving many. Jesus talked about it. Jesus prophesied in the last days, great falling away. Many will be deceived. He said, if he didn't shorten, if he didn't come, even the very elect would be deceived. It's in the Word of God. And we see it happening, folks. I am shocked at some of the stuff I'm seeing now with Christian leaders. I'm like, people that we follow for years, and all of a sudden, I'm like, what? I'm telling you, folks, you better pray. You better pray. You better know Jesus for yourself. You better have a relationship with Jesus for yourself so you can discern. Because when you have a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit is there, and the Holy Spirit will tell you in a minute. He'll tell you. It'll be in your spirit when you feel that, okay, something's not quite right here. That's the Holy Spirit. So folks, we got to be in prayer. You need to be praying for this generation. You know, we got to stop talking about the millennials and start praying for the millennials. Start praying for them. Lift them up. Lift them up. They have grown up in a very different world than you and I grew up in. So they need prayer. They need someone praying for them so God can minister to them. So again, I'm just so excited about, as we finish up this lesson, the captain of the host of the Lord, and going into the war room. And I just want to just review what we talked about last week. We talked about the woman that came and poured or broke her alabaster box over Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and how the fragrance filled the room. And, you know, the disciples were complaining, well, why wasn't this sold for money? And why, if you knew what kind of woman this was, other people saying, if he knew what kind of woman this was, he wouldn't let her touch him. And Jesus was like, you all are all missing the point. Because see, sometimes we're so focused. This woman was focused on Jesus. You know, she didn't have to come in there. She knew what they were going to say about her, but she didn't care. See, we got to get to a point where we don't care. We are going to focus on Jesus. I don't care what you think. I'm going to focus on Jesus right now. You can say what you want about me, but I got to focus on my Lord. I got to find him. I got to be with him. I want to give him a sacrifice. I'm at his feet, weeping and breaking everything that I have on his feet. And these people around missing the point. Even the people that are hanging out with Jesus. Some of us are hanging out with Jesus, but we're missing the point of Jesus. We're missing the point that he is our Lord, he is our King, and we're getting our instructions from him. The disciples would have been wise to watch Jesus as this happened and take their cue from him. You know, if Jesus didn't want this woman breaking this perfume over his feet, wouldn't he have gotten up? Wouldn't he be stopped her before she even gotten close? But he didn't. See, we got to take our cues from Jesus sometimes. I'm like, okay, Jesus, teach me. What is this? What is this? What are you teaching me about you? We're so easy to make assumptions, but we really have to know his word. We have to know what he is doing in this day and age. But I can't emphasize, you need to know the word of God. Because one thing I just want to say on that, Jesus is not going to tell you anything against his word. And that's where you got to know the deception that's in the world today. Because people are saying things that are not in the word. They're saying Jesus, talking around Jesus, hanging around Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. They don't know who he is. You need to read your word so you know who he is. He's never going to say anything that is against his word. So know that. If somebody's coming to you with some new gospel and some new thing, it's not Jesus. If they're endorsing and condoning all kind of sins and abominations that the Bible says is wrong, is abomination, it's not Jesus. Remember, Satan, Lucifer, his name means light. That his original name meant light because he can masquerade as an angel of light. He knows how to look like a beautiful angel. But you got to understand, that, as I said last week, and the scripture says this too, my people perish for lack of knowledge. They don't know the word. They're ignorant. They don't know. They don't read. They don't study. They're too busy. They're doing everything else but preparing for warfare. And the enemy is picking them off. one by one, deceiving them, because that's what he is. He is the great deceiver, and he knows how to deceive. So you need to know your word. You need to study. You know, and that's why I always put a lot of scripture in our lessons so we can read our scripture. Because you got to refer to the scripture. If I say something that's not in that word, don't you receive it. I'm telling you right now, don't receive it. If it's not in that word, don't you receive it. If I say it. Let God be true and every man a liar. Okay? That's the way that works. So we've got to know who our Lord is. We've got to hold to him today more than ever, folks. I tell you, you need to be aware of what's going on. You need to look at some of the stuff that's going on and what's happening in our world today. And be aware that, you know, his return is drawing closer and closer and closer. So we need to be aware. So as we get in our lesson, we left off last week, halfway through hallowing this name or holding sacred this name, the captain of the host of the Lord. And I don't know what page this is in your lesson, but it's the scripture that says, then the Lord said to Moses, write this in the book as a memorial. Page 235 in your lesson, okay? So then the Lord said to Moses, write this in the book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly wipe out the memory of Amalek and his people from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and named it, the Lord is my banner, saying, the Lord has sworn an oath, the Lord will have war against the people of Amalek from generation to generation. And that's from Exodus 17:15. And it's talking about how God does warfare for his people. You know, when you have an enemy, God will wipe out the very memory of those folks out of your life. You got to understand, when you do it God's way, he is thorough when he does warfare for you. Why would God, the point says, why would God want this battle and the consequences of the people of Amalek who fought against God's people recorded as a memorial? For you and for me to read generations later as to how God will fight and conquer for you. The old songwriter wrote, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Because the Lord does it. When the Lord fights for you, I mean, he fights for you. It's none of this patty cake stuff. It's none of this. The Lord will wipe out the very memory of people out of your life. If we would trust God with our battles, he will wipe our enemies out of our lives. You will no longer see them or be tormented by them. Someone was telling me that. She said, a friend of mine was telling me, she said, I prayed and I asked God. I said, God, this person has brought such torment in my life and now they're gone. Lord, please. And she said, the Lord spoke to her, you won't even see them anymore. You know, and not that they died or anything. It's just that Lord would just say that you won't be seeing them. You won't be bumping into them. They are out of your life. Because that's what God will do. Because you are his child and he's like, you've got things to do. And he wipes the very memory out of your life. Note that even the memory of your enemies will be wiped from under heaven. They will be forgotten as irrelevant and insignificant. See, when God moves, I mean, irrelevant, insignificant. Remember all those people that gave you a hard time and, you know, you look at them. Sometimes you even know, you may hear what's going on with them today. And you're like, wow, you know, irrelevant, insignificant today because God wipes them. People often clamor for praise and accolades on earth, but if such people seek to harm the children of the living God, in spite of all their efforts, they will be forgotten. Therefore, stay in God and trust in him for everything. You ever been around people that just want accolades, always doing stuff, jumping in front of you, you know, getting the credit? I don't know, I deal with people like that. You know, and the Lord said, just hold your peace. Don't. You know, he said, he'll make your cause shine like the noonday sun, did he not? That's what he said. So you don't have to fight like other people fight. You don't have to boast. You don't have to brag about what you did. It's counted in heaven. God saw, God knew. And God will see to it that these folks are forgotten. Year later, nobody even remember their name. Because God fights for you and God lifts you up, and God will bless you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. And when he exalts you, remember to bow your head in humility. Don't be like the others that stick their chest out and proud. No, that's not who we are. We serve the humble King. So we walk in humility before him. The next comment says, we hold sacred his name because he is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. He is the one we hold up before us in battle. Our enemy knows as we march into battle that we come in his name. This will be reflected in our response to trials. We respond as one who knows that his or her Lord will win the victory. So it's, you know, we hold up the banner of Christ by the way we act, by the way we respond to what happens. If we act like everybody else, we're holding up the banner of the enemy or the banner of the flesh. But when we act like Jesus, you know, when we love and we forgive and we bless people that curse us and all of that, then we're acting like our Lord. We're acting like our King, you know, and people can see that we're holding up his banner, and he sees that we're holding up his banner, and he comes in and he fights for us. We don't return evil for evil or insult for insult, but we trust in the weapons of our God. Folks, I know, you know, we say this and we like to quote these nice little feel-good scriptures when things are going good, but let somebody insult you. Let somebody rub you the wrong way, and you know that flesh will rise up. You know, your blood will be at a low simmer, and you know when your blood is getting at a low simmer. That's when you need to start praying. Jesus, 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 start calling on his name so he can cool you off and take it his way. And take it his way. Nobody gets away with anything. Don't you know that? God sees everything. Nobody's getting away with anything. But you've got to trust that and not think that your argument, your little word, your little snide remark, and sometimes we don't say anything, but we say stuff under our breath. Oh, God hears it. He hears it because God looks at the heart. You know, so we've got to just, okay, I got to turn this. And sometimes, you know, turning toward the Holy Spirit. You got to turn toward the Holy Spirit. At first, it's hard. It's like turning a Mack truck without power steering. It's hard, but you can do it. You can do it. You can turn your heart toward Jesus and turn your heart toward the Holy Spirit. The weapons of our warfare are not fleshy or carnal, but they're mighty through God, and they will pull down strongholds. The enemy wants you to fight in the flesh because he knows you're just, you're powerless. You're not doing anything to his kingdom. In fact, you're building it up a little more because, oh, okay, see, I know how to push her buttons. I know how to, so be careful that you're doing it God's way, that you're listening to his orders, that your emotions are not inspiring you, but the Holy Spirit is inspiring you. As the scripture says, we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. See, that's our work. The scripture says we make it obedient to Christ because God's not going to violate your free will. But you have to make it obedient to Christ. So we have to shift our minds. The next point says, and one called out to another saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. I love this segment of the book because all it lists is scriptures. And we have to dig into that scripture and just find out what is the Holy Spirit, what is the Lord saying in these scriptures. And this scripture from Isaiah 6:3 says, and one called out to another saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Isaiah 6:3. We hold his name, the captain of the Lord, sacred because he is forever holy. He is incorruptible and the whole earth is filled with his glory, his honor, his praise and wonder. The earth must bow to him. Do you understand? This planet knows who its creator is. The planet knows. The planet knows who it's going to bow to in the end. Mankind can do all kinds of things. We can build all our little structures and all of our stuff, and we can garden and we can do all this stuff. But the planet will be bowing to the Creator. All the earth is filled with His glory. In fact, the scripture says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, even all creation will be bowing. So we've got to know who He is, and He never changes. He's incorruptible. He's not going to change. He doesn't change for you. He's not going to change for me. He's not going to change because it's 2018 and we got to get to the contemporary thing and we've got to, you know, we've got to do this. And we, folks, I'm telling you, you better stay with that word. You had better stay in the umbrella of protection of the Word of God. Do not be deceived in this day and age. Sin was sin 2,000 years ago, and sin is sin in 2018. And don't think that God is going to change. Well, after all, it's 2018, and, you know, after all, they, you know, things are different now. Oh, no. He's incorruptible. You cannot corrupt Him. You understand? Our captain cannot be corrupted. That's why we got to look to Him, because we were raised in a vat of filth, of wickedness. We were raised here. We were born in sin. We were raised in it. That's why we don't even know how to live right. That's why we got to keep looking at the captain, because we don't even know. And even after He pulls us out of that vat, as I said, you ever pull a rag out of a vat of filth? And you see that rag, and it is still smelly, and it's still got all kind of residue on it. The Bible says the weights that so easily beset us, the weights that so easily cling to us, that's what He's talking about. And Jesus pulls us out of that. He looks at that, and He starts washing us. Amen. He starts washing us. But we see we got to look to Him so He can keep washing and cleansing us. And hopefully, oh, prayerfully, every year you're looking more and more and more like Jesus. Every year, some of that residue comes off of you. Every year, you start smelling better. You start smelling more like Jesus. Because that's the way it is, folks. You know, so that's why we got to keep our eyes on our captain, who is incorruptible and who is totally clean. So we have to listen and hear Him, and because He never changes. He never changes from His holy station. He is holy. He is holy. He can't help but be holy. So, you know, don't think you're going to have an argument before Him on that great day. You're not. You're not going to have an argument for your unholiness. You're not. Because He is holy, and He has done everything possible to give you, to bring you to Him, and to clean you up. The next point on our lesson says, listen carefully. I have appointed him, David, representing the Messiah, to be a witness to the nations regarding salvation, a leader and commander to the peoples. That's from Isaiah 55:4. Note the Messiah was appointed by God as the leader. This makes His appointment irrevocable. You cannot find another Messiah. There's not going to be another Messiah. There's not going to be a new Jesus. Be careful. As I said, the Antichrist is in the world. Okay, and he will come and try to imitate that he is Christ, but he is not. There's only one Jesus Christ. There's only one Savior. And his station, his assignment is irrevocable. That he will always be the Messiah. He is the only Savior for us. To follow another leader is certain death and separation from God. There will never be another Messiah, another Savior for humankind. As God wraps up his dealings with mankind, there will be no other way out from the fate of this world. Do you understand that? I was listening, I was watching some videos yesterday, and this guy was talking about, he said he was formerly Catholic, and he was saying that when they were young, they would joke about the fact that if Jesus won't let us into heaven, then Mary will let us in the back door. I said, oh no. Oh no, Mary won't. Mary is in heaven with Jesus. Oh no. See, you got to be so careful, because the way Satan deceives people is that he brings someone close to Jesus. You've got to be careful of the deception in this world. I'm telling you, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As soon as I heard that, I was like, whoa. Because the scriptures are very clear. There's only one mediator between man and God, and it is the man, Jesus Christ. That's what the scriptures, the word of God says. But if you don't know that, see, that's how you get deceived. Nobody's going to let you in the back door. In fact, I don't believe there is a back door. The one and only Messiah was appointed by the creator of the earth, the creator of you and me. There's no lawyer, no advocate, no Satan. Satan and his demons will be able to save you from his hands on that great day. Only Jesus. When you stand before the Father God, honey, only Jesus. Only Jesus. Jesus. The Bible describes him as our advocate, the one that speaks up for us. And if you don't have him on your side, okay, that's it. Nobody's coming. All those people that talked you into stuff, they won't be there. Satan that deceived you into stuff, he won't be there. All by yourself. And if you don't have that one and only advocate, Jesus Christ, oh, that's going to be a hard day for you. That's going to be the worst day for you. So I'm telling you, folks, let's draw in. You know, I know mostly everybody in here are believing you've accepted Jesus Christ, but I'm telling you, you've got to press into him, folks. You better seek the Holy Ghost right now and really learn how to be discerning of what is and what isn't him. Get into the word and find out so you will not be deceived. You need to read and understand what the will of the Lord is. The next scripture in your lesson is from Revelation 5:5, and it says, Then one of the 24 elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Look closely. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome and conquered. He can open the scroll and break its seven seals." Note that this verse speaks in the past tense, has overcome, has conquered. We hold his name sacred because he has already won. Okay. As I said, I heard, to quote Miles Monroe, he said, "God saw everything. He looked through the entire timeline of all humankind, and he saw everything, and then he went back and pushed the start button." So he already knows. I'm like, he's the Alpha. Remember the scripture says he's Alpha and Omega. He already sees the end. He's already seen all of this, all the stuff that you're doing. And, you know, so, you know, it's like you've got to know that he has already conquered. We're just walking through this thing. We hold his name sacred because he has already won. All other enemies have lost the battle and deserve no honor. You got to stop acting like you're watching the Super Bowl. You're not watching the Super Bowl when you're talking about Jesus versus Satan. You're not watching the Super Bowl. Super Bowl been won. Jesus won the Super Bowl. Can I give you an announcement? He has won. So you just watching a tape. You just watching the rerun. So you've got to know that. And stop. Oh, I wonder if Jesus is going to come through. I wonder if Jesus is going to help me. I wonder if he's already helped you. He's already helped you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if we could just grasp, you know, who our captain is, that he is already, he is victory. It says, "But Christ our captain is already esteemed as the victor. We are simply waiting and doing his work until he comes to take us home. And he is faithful that promised." I'm telling you, folks, prophecy is being fulfilled. Even as I stand here, it is being fulfilled right now. I mean, the part where Jesus said, "Look to the sky," that part is being fulfilled right now. There is stuff going on. Guys, I know y'all watching the news and seeing what's going on. The one world religion is coming. It started already. The scripture says they were going to bow. All these people are going to worship and bow. You know, I know we have all these movies about it, but you need to watch the news. You don't have to watch a movie. Watch the news and find out what's going on in the world. How people are bowing and what they're bowing to. And I'm telling you, it's here already. So we have to know that he said, "Look to the sky. When you see, look to the sky, for your redemption is drawing near. The time is drawing near. I'm taking my people out of here." So it's coming soon. The next point said, "You, O Lord, God of hosts, the God of Israel, all arise to punish all the nations. Spare no one, and do not be merciful to any who treacherously plot evil." And Selah, which means stop and listen. This is Psalm 59:5. "We hold his name sacred above all because the great and terrible day of our Lord is coming." You know what, guys? You cannot pray away the word of God. You cannot pray away the book of Revelation. There are things that are going to take place because God said so, and we cannot change that. We pray for souls to be saved. We pray for people to be brought into the kingdom. That's what we can pray for. Pray that people miss what's coming. That's what we pray for, but we cannot pray that the word of God is not fulfilled, because it will be fulfilled. It's being fulfilled as I speak, guys. I'm telling you. He is a consuming fire which rids the earth of all evil. It's in the world. It's in the word. We have not yet seen this day, but it is coming. See, as I said, you know, people talk about the wrath of God. That, you know, what we saw last summer was not the wrath of God. Taking out all of, you know, washing through Florida. The whole state had to be evacuated. That never happened. Houston underwater. Wildfires burning in seven states. That was not the wrath of God, folks. That's just God just removing his edge of protection because of decisions we've made. That's all that was. We have not even seen it. Do you understand? You have not even seen it. Because according to Scripture, he's wiping, "Spare no one, and do not be merciful to anyone who treacherously plots evil." I mean, he will punish, he will arise and punish all the nations. Nobody is exempt. The Scriptures declare, "Therefore, since we are receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us be filled with gratitude and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." This is Hebrews 12:29. I know sometimes we don't want to hear that fire and brimstone preaching. We're tired of that. We want to hear, you know, "Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus does love you." You know, but you got to know there's other parts to him. You know, I remember years and years ago hearing R.W. Shambach preaching. He was saying, "Yeah, God is love and God is peace and God is joy. But one thing you all you also should know about God, he's a killer." And I was like, "Whoa!" He said, "Y'all need to know the whole story about this God. He wiped up the whole world with a flood. This is God we're talking about." And he has a right to do it because he made it. So you all need to know all the whole counsel of God. I mean, the love story is beautiful. Yes, love, love, love. That Jesus is all about it. But folks, you got to take the whole counsel of the word of God. And it's time that we study and we know where we are in the timeline of things. For our God is a consuming fire. His kingdom is unshakable. Therefore, we hold him in highest esteem and honor alone. Only he will save us in the end. Only he will. So folks, whatever we're focused on, whatever we're caught up in, folks, I'm telling you, make sure Jesus is there. Make sure whatever you're doing right now, that Jesus has called you to it, that you're not doing stuff that, you know, Jesus is over here and you're just doing your thing over here. I'm telling you, it's time. Jesus, what am I supposed to be about? I'm not talking about just on Sunday. I'm talking about Sunday through Saturday. Amen. Jesus, what am I supposed to be about right now? What am I supposed to be doing? Ministry is everywhere. I'm not saying you have to come and work in the church. I'm saying ministry is everywhere. I work at a place, I know it's a ministry. Ministry is everywhere. But are you missing it because you're so focused on everything else? You're like the disciples and the woman. You know, you're missing Jesus. you're missing what Jesus is doing and how he's ministering because you're so caught up in other things. And we're so busy. You know, we're so distracted all the time. You know, I love this thing, but I hate this thing sometimes. You know, I mean, it's just distracting. You know, you can't be alone anywhere. So I heard someone say, you know, I hate the cell phone because if you don't answer it, people think you're dead. So they're like, keep texting, where are you? Where are you? I text you. I text you 5 minutes ago and you didn't answer. I turned it off.
Amen.
Because I needed a moment with Jesus.
Amen.
And I don't need a cell phone to talk to him. You know, ding, ding, ding. All through the night, can't get a peace. All these alerts, you know. Folks, I'm telling you, Jesus, if you have to turn it off so that you can focus, Jesus, what are you saying this morning? What are you saying today? Lord, I just want to focus. I don't want to miss you. I don't want to miss ministry today. I don't want to miss an assignment you have for me today. Captain, tell me, what am I supposed to be doing today? I don't want to miss it because the time is short. And there could be somebody I'm supposed to be reaching out to. You know, I can't wait to, you know, some of the war room lesson and just talking about how we need to love each other. The body of Christ. Oh, my goodness. You know, I mean, I was just blown away as I was reading and studying and how the Lord would just, how we need to love each other. How we're missing it. You know, if we would just love each other, man, people would come because they would want to be a part of this group. Because of the way we love each other. So we don't want to miss what he's saying. We don't want to miss what he's doing. So as the intensity of the battle for the souls of mankind increases and draw closer and closer to your Savior. This is not a time for watering down your faith, but growing in to match the intensity of the day. Do you know the fight for your soul is on? And it's become more intense. Satan knows his time is short. He knows it. The scripture says, this is in Revelation 12:12. It says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. But terror will come to the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you with great anger, knowing that he has little time. It's Revelation 12:12. The next point in your lesson says, our Lord is the mightiest in battle. He will never be knocked down or lose his footing, not even for a second. He will always prevail. The scripture says, who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And that's from Psalm 24:8. We may lose our footing. We lose our footing when we fail to pray. We fail to read the word. We lose our footing, don't we? Don't we? We just forget, something slipped. Oh, you know, because we forgot to pray. Hurry, I was busy, I forgot. The devil don't care you forgot. The devil doesn't care you had a busy schedule. He said, oh, in fact, he's watching. Oh, you didn't pray today. Okay. He knows what prayer does. He knows. That's why he distracts you when you're praying. That's why, because he knows if I can get her fuel on empty before she goes out that door, I know I've got her. Because she alone can't defeat me. He knows this. And she didn't pray. And he will deliberately put all kind of distractions for you in the morning. As I said, ding, ding, ding on the phone. The kids, everybody acting up. Oh, man. But take the time to pray. Press into Christ and remember, Satan fights by deception. He is a deceiver. And you can find the reference for that in Revelation 12:9. He is a deceiver. And I know you hear that, and you're not really, but I want you to really understand what we mean by deceiver. He will trick you, and you won't even know you've been tricked. You'll be walking, you don't even know until you're way down the road that he has deceived you. He has shifted the tracks. You were going this way, and he's shifted you, and you don't even know it. Unless the Holy Spirit tell you. So we don't want to lose our footing. We want to pray. We want to study God's word. We want to be ever stable in God. And if we do stumble, and I want you to hear that, if you do stumble, oh, you've got an advocate with the Father. He'll pull you right back up on the stable foundation. So don't let the enemy, see the enemy, he plays both sides of the field. First he'll cause you to stumble, and then he'll condemn you for being down there.
Yes.
Yeah. You're supposed to be saved. You're supposed to know Jesus.
Yeah.
Look at what you just did. So you might as well forget it now. You know, Jesus doesn't even want to hear from you anymore. It's a lie. Immediately. Remember the prodigal. Remember the prodigal. And you haven't done as worse as a prodigal. And the Father ran out. All you have to do is look up, and Jesus will, gotcha. Just waiting for you to look up, baby. Just waiting for you to look up. I got you. You're all right. Let's start again. We can do this again. Tomorrow's another day. I love Jesus for that. I'm like, you just, oh, Lord, I love him. You know, because he taught us, how many times shall you forgive your brother? Seven times? And he says 70 times 7, meaning always. So how much will he do for you? Lord, I messed up again. I should have kept my mouth shut, and I just couldn't hold it in. And I told her off, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you know. And Jesus like, yes, I was there. Heard every word. But let's go again. Let's go again. Repent and let's go again. You know, and I love that about Jesus. He says, go and sin no more. So no matter what you've done, don't let the liar get in your ear and tell you he doesn't want to hear. He always wants to hear from you. Always wants to hear from you. Even when you're not in trouble, he wants to hear from you. Talk to him when you're not in trouble. Sing a song to him when you're not in trouble. You don't have to have the great voice, you know, but sing to him, you know, sing to him all the time. I mean, that's, you're talking about the things that really makes you intimate with Christ is singing. You know, we all can't sing like Linda, but we can sing. We can make that joyful noise, you know, and sing. You know, one of the greatest things when, you know, and God will even put a song in your heart. You ever, I don't know if you ever woke up and you got just a song, I don't know where that came from. I haven't heard that in years. And you start singing with it. Because someone told me, someone was too, that's your spirit singing.
That's right.
Join your spirit in singing praises and worship. You know, and it keeps your mind elevated, keeps your mind tuned in to the captain. You know, so you can hear what he's saying. The next point says, until he comes, we remain on our post. Hallelujah. At our assignment, faithfully working and looking to the sky. Folks, don't let the enemy deceive you to leaving your assignment or your post. If God has told you to do something, stay with it. I know it's hard. I know your feelings got hurt. I know this, but stay on your assignment. Don't let the deceiver make you move out of place where the captain has placed you. Our captain told us there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. And we saw that in September 27. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. And we were here in the United States. People will faint from terror, apprehensive about what is coming on the world. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. That's from Luke 21, 25, 28. It's happening. We had the tsunami years ago, you know, and then last year we had the hurricanes just hitting the United States. all the things that are happening, people that are in terror, wondering what the world is coming to, all these mass murders happening, people walking into churches, shooting. Folks, there were a time when you like, okay, the church is sacred, but no. I was listening to a preacher, and he was preaching. He was preaching the truth, but he made the announcement. He said, I want you all to know that there are people in here that are armed. So if anybody comes in here with a gun, there are people. He was making, I was like, whoa, that I've never heard that before. But that's the day we live in. Walking to schools, walking to churches, we're walking to Walmart. They don't care, they're walking anywhere. Terror, people are terrified. All over. Home invasions. Ding dong, open the door and boom. Folks, I'm telling you, carjacked, car stolen, car broken into, home broken. You're not safe except in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, look up. Look up when you see these things happening. People are afraid. People are in terror. You know, when you go in the sanctuary today, if you haven't been in there, Pastor Steve got all these signs that says, pray for Pueblo. Pray for Pueblo. Pray for Pueblo. Pray for law enforcement. Pray for Pueblo County. Pray for our schools. Pray for our universities. Pray for our children. Pray, folks. Jesus said, look up. Look up. You know, I appreciate all the programs people have going on today, but I know it's going to take prayer.
Amen.
We got to pray.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Are things going to change or people are going to be won to the Lord? Concert shooting, Las Vegas that last year. Just somebody open firing, people outside at a concert, and some person, a sniper, just taking them out. Just taking people out. And the man didn't even have a record. So you're thinking, oh, well, we got to keep our eye on the serial killers. No. It could be Joe next door to you. I don't know what got into that person, and they still haven't explained it. We don't know. We don't know why he did what he did. Well, we know. It's intense because the time is short, believers. Children of God, pray, pray that people are won to the kingdom. The next point says the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. That's Exodus 15:3. The next point says strap on your sword. Strap your sword on your thigh, O mighty one. In your splendor, in your majesty, and in your majesty, ride on triumphantly for the cause of truth and humility and righteousness. Let your right hand guide you to awesome things. And this is from Psalms 45, 3 and 4. Your captain knows how to fight your enemy. You do not. That's why you look to him. You do not have the skills or the intel to fight this enemy. If you try on your own, you will fail. And that's our issue. Stop trying to fight on your own. Humble yourself and find out how Jesus wants you to fight this enemy. If you ever watch an unskilled fighter beating the wind, always missing the target, if you ever watch an unskilled and a skilled fighter fight, just like, it's comical, it's funny, because they're always missing, ending up on the ground. All of his energy and resources he's using until he's empty. Without Christ, it's like you're on the battlefield with a squirt gun. Do you understand? Squirting at the enemy and he's just laughing. Ooh, yeah, hit me here. Ooh. Because your carnal weapons don't work. You got to humble yourself and get into God, get into prayer. You know, we should be taking this world. You know, he gave us all authority. All power in heaven is given unto you. Give it unto me, Jesus said. Now go, he said. I'm in you. So what's going on? Why? Because we're on the battlefield with a squirt gun. instead of with the power of our Christ. The next point says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in, adheres to, and trusts in, relies on me as Savior, will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me as Savior will never die. Do you believe this? That's from John 11:25. Even in death and after death, our captain is victor. Do you understand that? See, it doesn't matter. You know, if they shoot me, they kill me. Oh, you know what? I'm still victory. As Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know? So if you're going to kill me, you're doing me a favor because I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. And that's the mindset we have to have. He is the resurrection, the new life that restores all. No one is lost in him. He has the whole world in his hand. You know, if you're called to die for Christ, and I know this seems so foreign to us as Americans, that we would have to die for our faith, you know, that happens over in the, you know, overseas somewhere. That doesn't happen here. That happens in other countries. Folks, I'm telling you, you better have in your mind that you would die rather than deny him. We don't know. I don't know how this is going to wrap up. I'm not predicting how it's going to wrap up. I'm just saying you need to have in your mind that you would die rather than to deny him. And if you don't have that decision, if you're like, well, I don't know. And some of us are like, well, I'll die, but what about my children? I don't know if I... Folks, I'm telling you, you have got to know Jesus and know that he is the resurrection. That no matter what they take from you, no matter what happens, you know that to live is Christ and to die is gain. This is no joke. This is not... You know, we've been so blessed in America. We've been so blessed. But folks, I'm telling you, things are changing. Things are happening, and we have got to be ready, and we've got to be prepared. So we have to go for it. And this is why Satan is always defeated before the children of the living God, because he can never win. He can touch our bodies, but he can never touch our souls. And Jesus talked about that. Don't fear the one that can hurt the body. Fear the one that can put your soul in hell. That's what Jesus taught. And that's what we should fear. We are eternal beings. This is all temporary. This is going. You see it going every day. You know, one more gray hair. Tick, tick, tick. It's going. But your soul is eternal. So that's what you take care of. That's what you protect. So next point says, happy and blessed are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. Your enemies will cringe before you, and you will tread on their high places, tramping down their idolatrous altars. And that's from Deuteronomy 33:29. What are the altars of your enemies today? There's money, there's power. There's pride, there's greed. There's all kind of altars that we bow down to. People bow at these altars every day, and they sacrifice their integrity on these altars. When you lie, when you cheat and steal from your neighbors and friends and families, you place sacrifices on this altar. Do you understand? These altars that we, you know... I mean, we rally behind the American dream, but you need to take that American dream apart and see what it's all about. Are you stepping on your brothers and sisters' necks to get to the next level? Are you lying? Are you cheating? Are you stealing? Are you making sacrifices to the altars of Babylon, basically, to get to where you want to be? But you, as O child of God, hold sacred the orders of your captain to speak the truth and humble yourself. You will be victorious over them. You will tread on their high places and trample down their altars if you stay with the captain. Stay with the captain. Folks, everything in this life, everything is going to, it decays, it perishes. Everything. Your house is going to tear down someday. The car gets older every day. They say it depreciates as soon as you drive it off the lot. So why are we so caught up in this stuff? It all passes away, and then when you die, you can't take it with you. So why? Doesn't even make sense. It's illogical. Stay with the eternal and those things which are eternal. So finally, in this scripture from 2 Samuel 22 says, your battle cry before your enemies, for by you I can run upon a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is blameless and perfect. See, this is our battle cry. And the word of the Lord is tested. He is a shield to all those who take refuge and trust in him. For who is God beside the Lord? And who is a rock beside our God? My God is a strong fortress. He sets the blameless in his way. He makes my feet like the doe's feet, firm and swift. And he sets me secure and confident on my high places. Hallelujah. 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 You can climb that mountain. You can take that mountain. Do you understand? I don't care what's going on. You can take it with the captain of the hosts of the Lord. So, folks, that's the last bit. And I'm sorry to leave it. I almost want to stay there and cling, but I know we got to go forward because we got some battles to win, right? Anybody have any comments? Which one is that? The war room?
Yeah, four more people are coming.
Yeah, I'll bring in more of the war room. I can make copies. I have the original. I can make copies after class if you guys want to hang around and get some copies because we'll be starting it next week and we'll have more copies. We need four more. Okay, how many?
Me.
You need four?
I need four.
You need four. Who else? Five. Okay, you need. How many do you need?
Two.
Oh, two? And you need two?
Four less.
Okay, you two. Okay.
I need.
You need a couple? Okay. All right, we'll just make a bunch of them. Okay. If you guys, I know you want to probably look through it this week. If you want to wait, I can make some. I have to go to the office and make some after class. But if you want to wait till next week, we'll have another stack of handouts next week as well. Okay, so I have another stack next week. We had 25. I didn't know we were going to run out, but we did. So we'll have more. And we'll have more of... Of these two, how many did not get this? Okay, so I'll bring some more of these, or I can make some more of these because I'm telling you, this is powerful. This is our table of contents from the book we just finished, so we can know what the power in the name of Jesus. So anybody else?
This book or this book?
I'm glad you brought this. This is actually the novel that goes of the movie that she has right here. We're going to do Battle Plan of Prayer, and then there's a Bible study companion. There's a Bible study companion called The War Room. I didn't bring mine today, but that's where our lessons are coming out of the Bible study.
Okay.
But we are going to, after we finish the War Room Bible study, we're going to do this book, The Battle Plan of Prayer. We're going to go into this. We're probably going to be in this for years, but we're going to do the Battle Plan of Prayer.
Because I ordered a chart of from Turning Point, David Jeremiah. Have you heard of him? And some of those names he has on his chart aren't on here. So
yeah,
there's other names.
It's inexhaustible. That is just what we did in the book. And the book will even tell you that this is not a exhaustive list of the description of Jesus Christ. Okay? So those are just some of the names we went through in here.
So if I see a book at the library, he sent me from Turning Point, a whole list of names.
Uh-huh.
Some of them are different. Some of them aren't even.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. It's okay. Just add them to your list.
Yeah.
That's all. Anybody else before we pray? Comments, questions about anything? As we. What's that?
You're probably going to have a lot more people with being the war.
We had a whole bunch of people that signed up at the desk. I don't know if you guys signed up. Did anybody sign up at the desk that's here today? Okay, so we have a bunch of people that signed up at the desk that will be here. Okay, so we'll have a whole bunch. I'll probably have to make a whole lot of handouts as we get going on the war room. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll talk to Terrence and see what we can do. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and we thank you for your mercy, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you are, Lord God. We thank you for teaching us how to live and how to pray in your name, Lord God. Father, as we go forward, Lord God, we pray that you would be with us, that you would remind us of your word, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would prompt us, oh Lord, and move on us to pray and to study your word like never before, Lord. I pray that we would understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshy, but they're mighty through God, and they will pull out down the strongholds that we face, Lord, but we've got to get our weapons on. We've got to pull on the whole armor of God that we be able to stand in the evil day, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
So, Lord, I pray for your people today, Lord God. I pray for the children of the living God in this room, Lord God, and in this house of God, in this house of prayer, and even all over Pueblo, Lord God. Oh, Lord, all over the United States and all over the world, everybody that proclaim that Jesus is Lord and seeking a relationship with you. Oh, Lord, move them to pray. Move them to pray. Move us, Lord God, as your children, Lord, to win this battle. That we would win, that the great revival would take place first in us, Lord God. That we would get up, oh God, oh Lord, and put on our armor and be ready for the battle every day, Lord God. Oh Lord, the battle is fought in our workplaces. The battle is being fought in our homes. The battle is being fought in our neighborhoods, Lord God. So I pray that you would wake us up. Oh, Lord, your scripture says, awake, awake, O Zion, put on your strength. Oh, Lord, and I pray that for your people that we would awake and put on our strength and that we would take this world and be ready, Lord God, for your soon coming. Oh, Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. I pray that we pray, Lord God. Because we know in this day and age, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your spirit.
Hallelujah.
So I pray that we would pray. Oh, Lord, that we would be prompted. Your word tells us to pray without ceasing, Lord. And sometimes we don't understand what that is. But Lord, teach us what it means to pray without ceasing. To pray when we're driving. To pray when we're shopping. Oh, Lord, to pray, oh God, when we're at work. To pray, oh God, and always keep our captain close. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, Lord, our prayer is always that you would increase and we would decrease. May you increase and we decrease, Lord God. I pray we would humble ourselves under your mighty hand, that you would exalt us in your time, in your time. Oh, Lord, I thank you and I praise you. I thank you for this lesson, Lord God. And I pray that it will be come back to our remembrance, that it will be food that we take in and we digest into our being, and we are never the same. Oh, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, the captain of the host of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.